Blog Talk Radio.
Come on.
Funny how time can really change things. You were never like a plaything. You were the one I could talk to. Oh, then one night we took this thing further. Didn't think things occurred were dangerous. I thought we'd still be cool. Now my conscience is getting at me. My pain is like laughing at me. I thought this would make us happy, but love wasn't all we made, girl. We made a great big mess of this, and if I could just have one wish, it would be not to discuss this. See, I love you, but I've been in love, being in love, being in love. I've never been remembering when we were just friends. I had a time machine to go back to then.
I take it back, take it back. Come on.
Now it hurts to see all that's happening. Went from talk and laughing in. Now I just see your passion win. We're arguing, oh, now and then. I sit and wonder how it will be if I look right past all the sweetness. My weakness has always been your smile, girl. Now I hate how we had to end this. Even more we gave up for friendship. I need now, but I can't talk to you about you, girl. You can't tell me about me. I feel like my heart's on empty. I wish the smile never tempted me. See, I've been in love, being in love, being in love. I've never been remembering when just friends. Wish I had a time machine to go back to then.
Yeah, I take it back.
Oh, I've been in love, being in love, being in love. I've never been.
Yo, I never been.
Remembering when we were just friends.
Yo.
Wish I had a time machine to go back to then.
Yo, a wise man once told me when she messed up, say, baby, I'm sorry. And when you mess up, say, baby, I'm sorry. A strange concept that's hard to sell. And I know that this ain't something I should probably tell. But before my bedroom was a sex spot, girl used to come around the way to play spades and Xbox. Best of friends before the stress began. The perfect match, tailor-made like sweatshops. But now as I look back, I wish we could have took back the night you fell asleep in my arms and woke up next morning like we shouldn't have gone there. 20 minutes later, we done took it beyond there. The feelings we ain't seen before. It's hard being friends with a chick you done made scream before. Made a holler and fiend for more. I used to think it was love, but I ain't sure what that mean no more. You feel me?
I've been in love.
Let's go.
Being in love. Being in love. I've never been remembering when we were just friends.
We were just friends.
Wish I had a time machine to go back to then. I've been in love. Being in love, being in love. I've never
put on my dancing shoes and dance the night.
Yo, yo, I've been meaning to tell you something. I guess I was just waiting for the right time, you know. So why don't you sit down?
As we stare from across the room, starting to ponder what we've been going through. What does my kiss mean to you? Are we just friends? Or is this more to you? But if we label this just picture, what we might do? Yeah, that unexpected kiss, the whole feeling that brought me.
What you do is crazy, baby. Not like you belong in an asylum. Crazy, baby. Like the sun in the morning and the moon at night. Like the rain falling from the sky. Like the trees growing from the ground. I'm astounded, babe, by your love for me. And you're touching me. And you're trusting me. Like you do.
Thank you. Good people, good people, good people. Number one, it has been an exceedingly difficult time. Some things happened, some technical difficulties. Getting a little bit started late in what we're doing, but we're going to make it happen because we can't be stopped. This is Epiphany Radio Universe, a For Real Entertainment Network sponsored by Raw Links. Why the average you be raw? And they doing jewelry now. They're getting real jewels on the joint. Holla at my man, For Real the Poet. He's got you covered. Make sure that you get your Raw Links. It is sexy. It is amazing. And also very real. Make sure that you check them out. We'll bring them in at some point so we can do a little commercial thing because you need that. There's not a lot of jewelry men can wear. You know, well, let's not say that. They can wear anything they want. However, wrist wear is so important. And so you got to have the best of the best. And Raw Links is the best. So that being said, welcome to another installment of the incredible podcast show program known as Fly Speak Open Mic. I am your host, Mahavi, also known as High Rux. If you're catching me dripping, you can call me King Drip. Other than that, I'm Papa Fluff to the Fluffians. I rock out. Tiffany is the universe. And here is the fam. And this is where we stand and what we get down and doing. Now, with all that being said, we have an incredible installment for you. This is number 16. And each one that we do is its own separate universe, its own separate things. We don't compare them. We just mark the flyness of everything. So let's start with discussing one incredible poet. The Pretty Provocative Poet is a spoken word artist, musician, producer, and author from Toronto, Canada. That's right. He's in Toronto, Canada. He currently has two poetry collections released, Black Men Cry Poetry and Blue Hearts and White Lies on Amazon. He also has a poetry album called Poetry in the Key of Life on all digital platforms, right? And all the merch that you need for the Pretty Provocative Poet can be purchased through the link in his Instagram bio. Our next one is Mbozi Ukali. I hope I said that right. He comes from Zimbabwe, Africa. He's a spoken word artist who goes by the name Tonkonto, which happens to be his bloodline's totem. Keep that. All right, his bloodlines hold him. Right, I'm a community organizer and a youth mentor based in Canada. There's nothing that makes me happy to see young people that have the courage to tell their own stories in creative ways. Right, and then we'll follow up with Nikki Black, right, who is a didactic spoken word artist, a thriving film editor, script writer, short film producer. He recently had a great performance come back after not performing spoken word since the pandemic shut the world down. He's eager to be back to the spoken word event game. He's also sharpening his skills right here live on Epiphany Radio. All right, so I'm going to open up the mics. I'm going to bring everybody in. You do know, as we do it here, you are allowed to keep your mic open as long as there's not a lot of noise. Ladies and gentlemen, good people, one and all, I give you my three features, Nikki Black, Pretty Provocative Poet, and Tonkonto. Let's start with a round of applause. Hold on, where's my round of applause? I'll give a round of applause. All right. See y'all hear me? All right.
Yes.
We'll get the sound effects going in a minute. We'll get the sound effects going on. Gentlemen.
What's good?
What's happening out?
How's everybody doing today?
Am I too loud?
Hello? You sound good on my end.
Tonkonto?
Oh, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're good. You're clear. You're crystal clear.
Oh, yeah. How's everybody doing today?
We're good. I'm good. Welcome.
Much blessing. Great to be here.
Absolutely.
We are also joined by La Perla Negra from Epiphany Radio Universe and Zwina from King and Queen's Court here on Epiphany Universe. We'll be adding people. Some people have raised their hands. I thought I opened Van Metal's mic, but he might be funny if he's cutting it off. Let me see if he's keeping his mic. Let me see.
Greetings. Okay, hey, everybody. Man, how's man. Everyone doing?
Hey, hey.
Hey,
can you hear me?
All right.
Yes, we can.
EPP, I got you, right? EPP. You there?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Loud and clear.
Nikki Black, can I hear you?
All right, bless.
Nikki Black,
one, two, one, two. Can you hear me?
We can hear
all right.
You.
I can hear you. All right, listen. We're not here for a long time. We're here for a short time. We're going to get this cracking. We're going to get it early. I'm going to ask questions of poets. Please also, the people who are open, feel free to ask the poets questions. But it is a fascinating thing because we are dealing with two poets who are in Canada at this time. And that's not, you know, it's not unfamiliar to us because Lady A comes from Canada. But more importantly, it gives a more of an international feel to what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
What I want to ask, because I'm going to ask all three of you the question, all right? How does, all right, so with the advent of apps such as Clubhouse, Instagram, all right, how do you feel your reach as a poet has been extended outside the boundaries that you normally travel in as a poet? And any of you can answer this. I'm just leaving the question open for you three to answer.
Okay,
well,
much
I'll,
respect.
I'll
oh, no. Yeah, you go ahead.
I was just going to say I'll answer first because my journey just began last year, so I'm kind of fresh into this whole poetry thing, so it's easy for me because this is all I know. I've only hit a stage once, actually, in Toronto, because our city has been locked down for the past 2 years, so this is it's now reopening, so I'm excited to see where the journey takes me. But Instagram has been great because I got to get my feet wet, I guess, without people seeing me in person, so it's kind of been a smooth transition into this whole spoken word poetry world, for me at least, in this journey.
Okay. Don Canto.
Yeah, that's beautiful. It's nice to also connect with you. And I think the one amazing thing that happened on my end is exactly what's happening now, you know, and that was a friend connecting me with the Clubhouse scene, you know. And so when I got in there, that's how I first initially made contact. And I think there is now a very amazing time and space for intergenerational exchange, you know, because everyone wants to be on Instagram, for instance, right, no matter what age. And it just depends on how different people use it or apply it. But the thing is, there's just so much of that intergenerational exchange that is just waiting to happen, you know. And I see, like, so many, like, there's this artist called Iniko that I just discovered recently. She is just, like, so, her whole aesthetic is just so large on that power, that internal power of herself. She's powerful. She chose, for instance, like, she freely shows, like, these natural scars that are her skin. And her skin is, like, got these scars that is just how she is, and she doesn't cover it. She just, like, brings it out there, and it's got this amazing voice. So you're seeing all of these people expressing themselves at different points and just wishing that everybody you know, would use it to understand that beauty and aspect of being able now to share the knowledge from young to old and old to young.
All right, that's what's up. Black, how about you?
I think you need to hear that question one more time because if it relates to Clubhouse and social media, let me just hear your question one more time.
If I could. No, I mean, how do you feel your reach has extended as a poet? Like, since I know you, huh?
I didn't say what happened?
Since I know you a little bit better, I've known you longer than anybody on this on the call. And you being a burgeoning filmmaker, a burgeoning, you know, film editor, somebody who uses Instagram to actually make contacts with different people, how do you feel your reach has grown beyond your local scene?
Like I said in my piece the other day at your event, the poetry pop-up, I feel like I'm not there yet. I feel like I messed up 21 years ago when you put together 20P and y'all had that SUNY event, and I got a standing, it was about maybe 600 people in that room, and I got a standing ovation, and I had women literally crying. And am I lying, Mo? You can, you know, you bear witness to that.
No, you're not lying.
Definitely
have an impact.
I'm 49 years old right now. So 21 years ago, I was 28. And at that time, you know, I was trying to do music, and I was also trying to do the spoken word. But one thing for certain about me back then was I was in a relationship with somebody, and I was too young to be in a relationship. And I wish I would have had somebody about to be an accident. I wish I would have had somebody to, you know, put me on the right path for success. So now here I am in my later life at the age of 49, and I'm not trying to recapture that. You know what I'm saying, Mo? Like, you always taught me, like, you can don't really live with these regrets, learn from them, and now let's move on. So right now, it begins a whole new reinvention of Nikki Black. Since the pandemic, I haven't really, really performed the way I did, like we did Saturday. And now I realize, like, what I've been missing, and I really want to make the most of it. I really want to become one of those successful type of individuals, like Steve Harvey became successful in his 50s. Samuel L. Jackson became successful in his late age. You know what I mean? Like, I want to become one of those at this point in time now. So I'm like the other brothers. It begins. Although I've been doing it for 21 years, it starts now.
All right, that's what's up. All right. So now I have you three, because you're all of different levels. Here's what I want to ask you, right? Because I'm going to get a different response from you. To you, and I'm asking you individually, right? What makes a love poem for you? So I'm going to start with the pretty provocative poet. What makes a love poem? Now, no, I want you to know that I've watched you guys, all three of you, do a love poem. So I'm really interested to see how you feel about that. What makes a love poem for you, pretty provocative poet?
So for me, a love poem for me personally is my experience and my journey towards love. So a lot of times when I write, I'm writing to try to understand better what I'm feeling. So a lot of my love poems have come out of experiences where I had some sort of emotion towards a woman, but I didn't know exactly what it was till I had it on paper or till I typed it out on my MacBook. So for me, a love poem is just my emotions through poetry and trying to figure out the whole experience and journey of love.
All right, that's what's up. Zoncanto.
I wanted to say one thing that I think will be so amazing, that, you know, when Nikki Black was talking, Faith, like, I remember this proverb, this Chinese proverb that I was told just recently, and it just pertains to what you're talking about. And the proverb goes, the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now. Mm-hmm. I heard that, and it just changed my life. So I thought I should tell you that before I explain.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, to me, the love poem is, I found that I always write from a position of saying, what does love look to me? What is my desired love? You know, so that I unfetter myself from writing about it from the average things that I feel. Because the ultimate love that we wish we could give, for instance, or we wish we could receive, is like this kind of love that we explain in these big, outer world ways, right? So that's where I place myself. if I am talking about the attainment of love, I place myself to say what is my ultimate definition of love. Such that if I'm coming down, if I'm stepping down from that ultimate love and I have to talk about heartbreak, then I can talk about heartbreak in a way that shows that, oh my God, it has to be that intense of a heartbreak, because if this is the kind of love that this person aspires to and wishes they have and hasn't, or has found or hasn't found, but this is it. So I feel like my writing has to reflect that. And when every stepping down and every stepping up has to be from that ultimate place, and then I can explain heartbreak, then I can explain the silly things about what has occurred in my journey, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's what's up. Black, what makes a love poem for you?
What makes a love poem for me? As simplistic as the question seems, I really don't have a simple answer.
Well, answer it the best way you know how.
Oh man. Wow. You ever seen a movie, what was it called? Slam?
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
And remember the brother was in prison, and they was about to beat him down, and then he just broke out in that poetry piece, and he was just, you know, just breaking it down like why we shouldn't be fighting, and how he just stopped it with the love that he had for his brothers, and you know what I mean? It was pointless to be violent. You know what I'm saying? It was speaking from just from another somebody else's aspect of a love poem. I don't write too many love poems. A lot of people believe my poems are very harsh, militant, radical, revolutionary. But it probably is because to be real brief, yesterday was the day Martin Luther King was assassinated, and when I was 12 years old, I was in the eighth grade, and I never knew anything of Martin Luther King. In 1985, only thing I knew was Michael Jackson and Run DMC. So when I saw that documentary of Martin Luther King, and I'm looking at it, and I was seeing how we was getting treated, how the dogs was being sicked on us, how we was the hoes, and Martin Luther King's voice was so captivating. Like I was, like they pulled me into that documentary. I felt like I was there. You know, I was raised by a mother who was not Black, who was not conscious at all. She had me very young. So this is like my first time, my introduction into Black studies, so to speak, Black history. I was 12 years old. And then when I seen the assassination, I couldn't stop crying. The students in my class started laughing at me. They picked on me. When we went to lunch, you know, they went to go get my cousin Daphne, and she asked me, she was like, what you was crying for? I said, because they didn't have to kill him. Why did they kill him? And that sparked something in me. So I had a love for my people since I was 12. So it's been going on for 37 years now. So I don't really write love poems, so to speak, of heartbreak. Maybe if I experienced that, but more or less the love I have is for, you know, to come out of this condition that we're in. And when I hear those kind of pieces like that brother had on Slam, that's a love poem for me.
Don't question who I am. God knows. And I know God personally.
Yeah,
in fact, I let him call me me. Oh, man.
Beautiful. And it's been years since I've seen that. So, yeah, it's been a year since I've seen that, man.
You know, and there's so much history behind that particular movie to really put spoken words on the front page, and to it become like a cult classic because of how people started to see movies, and it actually helped Saul Williams to make his move into an actor because of that, you know, because the movie was him, Sonia Song, you know, who was on The Wire, you know, it's been very interesting to see how spoken word has taken place in the world, you know, and to the point where people may not respect it wholly in itself, but it's so required, because during the pandemic, You know, it was the poems, the songs, the verses, the creativity of us, of the beauty of our people, keeping things alive and keeping us interested and keeping us going. You know, D-Nice, you know, doing, you know, quarantine DJ jams and, you know, everybody taking place and doing different things, which is amazing. So, you know, not to hesitate, you know, let's let the people have a taste of your poetry. We're going to start out with the Pretty Provocative Poet, and then we're going to go down, and then, matter of fact, let me ask you guys, how would you like to do? Would you want to read first and then do the open mic, or would you like to do the open mic and then read?
We can go first and then everybody rock out.
All right.
I really don't
That'll
mind
work.
Either way.
Okay, well, we'll just get going. All right, and we'll just go that. So we'll start with PPP, you're up first. I'm gonna stop this music, and I'm going to mute myself, and the mic is yours.
All right, cool. And we're just doing one piece right now, or you want like all three back to back?
Yeah, just one piece. Yeah. Right. We're just doing one
cool.
piece right now.
All right, cool. So this piece I'm gonna start with is called "When Monsters Speak." I'm a monster. Not the type seen on a horror movie screen, no, I break hearts of women and shatter self-esteem. I am a monster that never screams but destroys dreams of loving me for eternity and beyond. I am the wrong monster to fight, the wrong seeming right, the darkness to your light, the death suffocating your life. I am a monster, the type to date your daughter and make her never want to fall in love again. I am evil kin for bobbies that can hardly see their beauty. I am truly a monster, jealousy wrapped up in glamorous envy, the enemy of your heart, the frozen cold thoughts in your soul. I am a monster out of control, the narcissistic love me because you're lucky to be mine instead of alone, sitting high upon my throne. I am a monster like Kang that Marvel instilled. In other words, there's too many variations of me to kill. I am the Heartbreak Hotel. Many check in, but few check out. I am self-hate mixed with self-doubt. I can make you shout, but rather make you suffer. I am world hunger that feeds off the rich's greed as millionaires ignore the poor's need. I am a monster hidden in a large number of religions, taking the vision off of God and placing it in a broken system. I am a monster that don't pray. I am the modern-day KKK. What I'm really trying to say is I am the police. Racist enough to keep blacks on their feet and feet on their necks. Heck, I was even the president last election. Number one monster selection. I am American healthcare. If you're rich, you get help here. If you're poor, well, we provide welfare. Ain't that enough? I am monstrous rough, evil personified and truth mixed with lies, televised for the masses to see. I am the pandemic, possible pandemic for pandemonium. I am every terrorist that cherished this plutonium. I am a monster, something that can only be one. But see, I am the evil within this prison. Some say I'm a monster. Nah, I say I'm just this world that we live in.
Wow. Yeah, y'all give a round of applause.
That was dope.
That was dope.
Oh,
that was dope. That was crazy. Yes, 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 yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. That was dope. That was nice. Wow. Wow.
All right, so now we're going to move from UPPP. We're going to go to you, Zonkanto.
Okay, this one is actually connected to a certain childhood thing that I used to do. Like, I used to make cooing sounds, dove sounds with my palms. So I remembered it. I was like, oh, because someone had said, what's one thing about you that remains unloved that you wish people would know? So, and I was like, oh, my God, I used to do this when I was a kid. Anyway, it evolved into this poem. Okay. The other day I watched Will Smith smack the Ukrainian war into oblivion. Again today I watched us, myself included, take communion.
as if the inside of Will's palm was a pulsating pacemaker for world peace. Then a memory occurred to me. I looked down at my own palms and remembered that as a child I used to make dove sounds with my hands cusped together. I carried around peace in the form of a ring-necked dove. And every time I adjusted the volume of its voice, it sounded very much like love. A love that sounded like this. As a child, I used to walk into crowded spaces and cup my hands together as if in a prayer. I could hear the sounds of bombs decapitating arms in the daydreams of young men with complex histories. I could smell the fumes of wars that consumed the women and drowned their cheap perfumes. And I would stand in the midst of it all, close my eyes, and the love would sound like this. And behind my eyelids, I watched the dove's voice take into the sky. And if you'd seen me, you'd think as young as I was, I knew nothing about wars. But let me take you back to the morning when that ring-necked dove was born in my palms. I watched it hatch in my hands like heaven's handshake. A feather-light earthquake, and in the wake of its silent, thundering birth, it found me. I instantly had the knowing feeling that it had been growing inside of me, that my psyche had become pregnant with the chorus of mourning doves. That without me knowing, peace had staggered into my palms a fingerprint a day, threading its songs from the cracks in my grandfather's window, telling me stories of the bad things that doves see when everyone is sleeping. I heard that our fathers lie. I heard that their mouths are caves for drunken demons that leap onto their shoulders and that they carry these around like abundant sons. I heard that the midnight sky was teeming with fumes from fires our grandmothers never started. And as a child, I would walk into crowded spaces and cup my hands as if in a prayer, because in my palms lived a ring-necked dove. That sounded like this. And the day my chest could heave its song into being, I began threading its voice into life. I would paint each feather of its wings and let them flutter with the innocence of my innermost childish dreams. I would cusp my palms together and its beak would knock upon the inside of my chest and into the broken dreams and internal walls of the ghetto. And people turned. Everywhere I went, people actually turned. And I wondered if for a second the sighs of solemn silence inside my soul had found solace. And almost in an instant, you heard the distant sounds of dead rats disappearing from underneath the discord in the gutters. And the smiles came back to the faces of our mothers. And the hands that had slept them returned to their hiding place. Poem.
Well, dang.
Yo.
That was crazy.
Okay.
Brother man, brother man.
Jeez.
Opening lines. Those opening lines. Oh, my God. Set the whole tone for that poem. And it was so much wrapped up in there. And I love that whatever that sound you was using to describe, and it had the same sound throughout. I love that. Love that.
Much respect. Much respect.
Yeah.
Much respect. One love.
It's a mosh pit. It's a mosh pit already. You know, we mosh pitting over here.
People throwing elbows, jumping around, bouncing music, PPP, so Canto, and Nick Black, you're next.
Am I coming through clear?
Yeah, you good.
Yeah.
The name of this piece is called Entitlement Issues. Niggas will beef with each other over territory and nonsense, but act like a stand-up citizen when the cops start frisking them as they're going in their pockets, removing their contents. This madness weighs heavy on my conscience because they absolutely have no right, but they do it because they white and they know we won't resist or fight. This can no longer be our responses. Let me break it down for you and show you what I'm seeing. Too many of us, if not all of us, treat white people like they're superior Europeans. We really respect their titles, but this is the part that's very vital. These people ain't nothing but average human beings, and if they didn't have access to all weapons, they would be retreating and fleeing. I'm not trying to be racist, but this truth, you gotta face it, otherwise it's lies you believe in. You see, we believe in their politics because we're under their dictatorship. We pray to God and just hope, but these people persuading us to just vote. When separation is the key, but we act like we afraid to split. For centuries, we have been duped by their bait and switch. We just acquiesced to they mess, gave up our countries, became their flunkies, when the truth is, we made this bitch. Now let's talk about their wealth and resources. That means agricultural, pharmaceutical, medical, economics, education, employment, military, and police forces. They give you a license for driving, permission to use a tarp, a curfew before it gets dark, marriage certificate and paper for divorces. In life, it looks like they're winning and we're taking all the losses. America is a Christian country. It's the primary reason most of you are probably wearing crosses. Black folk have no boundaries of violence against their own, but when it comes to white folk, we get very cautious. It's like we can't take a chance of physically harming them, knowing that perhaps in the future, they might still end up being our bosses. I know black folk that hate me just because I go about my daily stroll. But these same black folk will smile and kiss ass to these white folk that got them on probation or parole. I mean, they scared of these average human beings who will lock them up and throw them in the hole. They scared of these average human beings who will snatch their dignity and piss on their soul. I keep saying average human beings because I need you to see things how it's supposed to be seen. These people feel entitled to be mean because we have become their routine. We are mentally strong-minded people, but they do have the resources to make us fiends. If they wasn't so insane in the brain, they have the resources to make us clean.
Yeah.
Then they gentrify our neighborhoods because we don't have. Then they gentrify our neighborhoods because we don't have the resources to buy up the block. But land wasn't supposed to be stole or sold, and that's primarily our fault, because that was an idea we was literally supposed to stop. But nah, we let it rock, and today you see what we got. We are all the way at the bottom, asking, begging, praying for one little piece, one little shot, one little spot, and them crackers is all the way at the top, proudly saying no. I think not. Let me be clear. Our lack of rebelling and our integrity we keep selling has made these people official, integrating with them, relating to their system by putting our lives in the hands of their judicial. People, these are straight facts. It's not me that dissed you, but until we throw back, they ain't cutting us no slack. And they gonna keep living with the pride of having entitlement issues.
Bruh.
Whoa.
Oh, my gosh. Oh.
Yo.
Damn, y'all.
Hey.
Wow.
It's a monster.
Whoa.
It's a monster.
Oh, they did
already
the message.
Right. Let me get some new mics. Let me get some new mics because they destroyed it. Right. Let me get some new mics.
Yeah, they just burned them all. Lord.
Whoa.
They really did.
Dope,
you woke
bro.
Up.
Y'all came in here monster mashing, huh?
I am a monster, like
in the monster. Yeah, see, that's what happened. See, monster mashing. All right. Well, Lord, mercy Jesus. This was on. Can y'all give a round of applause for our features, please? Please. Please, thank you.
Absolutely.
Listen, I got to find my...
Amazing.
See, I'm trying to find my stuff. I forgot where I put it, but once I get that applause in here, I'm going to start using that joint. That's going to be a problem. It's going to be an issue. Like, what you doing? It's about to be an issue. Like, well, I don't care. I don't care. So let me ask LaPerla Negra, Zawina, and Van, how y'all feel about the features this month's fly speak? I think they're rather amazing.
Oh my gosh. My heart's still racing right now.
They are so dope. Different perspectives.
Yes.
Different perspectives. Fly, artist.
Yeah.
Man, I love what I'm hearing. They're amazing.
Yeah, definitely. And I had the pleasure of meeting Nikki Black in person, and the way he commanded a room, it's difficult to do that over the phone, but I definitely can feel it. I felt all of the energy from that. But all the features are definitely wonderful. The different, so different, but so great.
Thank you.
Yes. I feel like I'm being treated tonight. I mean, it's like Zwina said, all of the features are wonderful, but tonight is some powerful pieces being spit, and it's a lot of strong energy coming off of you three. It just keeps getting better and better. And yes, I feel like I'm being treated to a show here. Like somebody bought a ticket
more
to come to, you know, and I got front row seats.
Oh, but you are.
Right. Yes.
See, PPP is Don Canto don't know that I'm the type of person. I'm like, kid, no, bring your ass from Canada over here. Bring it on over here.
Yeah.
I was just in Buffalo over the weekend. I'm ready.
So that, you just a button, man. Listen, four more hours on down. You can get the Buffalo. You definitely can get the Buffalo. I'm not joking. PPP, where you are in relation in Canada to where Zone Contra is? Zone Contra, where are you at?
Oh, me, I'm in Windsor.
Okay, yeah, I'm in Mississauga. Right,
Mississauga, so that's like 4 hours or less, eh?
Yeah.
You see me working. You see, this is how we working. Be like, hey,
yeah. I see you.
Come on down.
Yeah, that's amazing, man.
Let them know.
It's amazing that we are in one space too.
Man, listen. I'll pull another pop-up poetry spot. Don't think I won't do it. I already been asked. Like, yeah, what are you doing the next
happen?
Oh, for sure.
Not a habit.
Tell me when and where I'm there.
I will. Listen, it's going to go down. There's going to be a lot of this going down. Yeah, I hear that. Wait. Yeah, we're going to do a lot of that. Anyway, matter of fact, let's do one more round before we get to this open mic, you know, so we can definitely feel the differences between everything and make everything happen. All right, hold on. Let me I got another few callers that just strolled up in the room. Hold on. Let me what's going on? How about you? Can you open, please? Open. All right, because I got another 647. Who master speaking? 647. Area code.
Sorry, that was me. Somehow my phone, I got kicked out, so I'm back.
Okay. Oh, no, because it doesn't say you got kicked out. It says you're on here twice. It's weird.
Oh. Yeah, no, it's weird. It kicked me out. I have to recall that.
Okay. Well, if you want, I can call you in directly, and I think that should be able to work. But then, you know, I don't know. It should be. In case you get kicked out again, just hit me on Instagram back channel. I'll call you in.
Okay, cool.
All right, so let's do another round. I see Divine Inspiration has joined us. Paul, that's you, right?
Yeah, that's me.
Pastor Snagat. What's happening?
Yeah, that'd be me.
And then we're also joined by and we're also joined by Rare Epiphany. Rare Epiphany, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, so yeah. All right. Oh, it's about to be a mosh pit out this piece. Real easy like. All right, so let's start this over again. We're gonna go reverse order. So Black, you're gonna go first. Then Son Canto and then PPP. We'll follow up and then we'll start the open mic after that. Okay?
Indeed.
All right, so Black, I'm gonna mute my mic and the mic is yours.
When the Black man cries, it usually means he's stressed. He feels like he's not at his best. He regrets creating some kind of mess. He feels like a failure because he's not a success. He just can't get no rest. He's compromising his relationship and settling for less. His mind begins to regress. He needs to go out on the quest, recoup, and let his thoughts regroup, then let his mind compute, then hit refresh. When the Black man cries, it's because he's stereotyped and treated like a thing. They disregard his intelligence. They think he doesn't have no benevolence. It's bad enough that they don't see a man, but even worse is that they don't see a king. This world neglects the things that we brought and the things that we bring. We are not just sports, fashion, dance, rap, and sing. We are not just sex having a one-night fling, because many of us got on one knee and handed our woman the ring. When the Black man cries, it's probably because he studied the history of slavery, analyzing the cowardice and the signs of bravery. Then he correlates that with the present time and clearly sees how it's affecting us majorly. He feels trapped in this white man's infrastructure and doesn't feel these conditions are savory. Well, in that case, the Black man is me. A white man world is unnatural, and I hate being surrounded by all this fakery. When the Black man cries, it's probably because a lot of Black men and Black women are at odds, arguing over some vile untruths on social media blogs, or money, bills, children's jobs, child support, and the white man's court being mediated by snobs. It's a damn shame entertaining the devil's game, especially being we are goddesses and gods who forgot that we've been robbed. When the Black man cries, it's probably because he sees other thriving nations. Then he gazes upon what we're dealing with. He thinks most of his people are financially illiterate, but yet we demanding reparations. He believes we should organize some financial organizations. Otherwise, his people will get compensations, but give it back to these thriving nations. Basically, these remunerations won't get us out of our situations. When a Black man cries, it's probably because he sees a lot of sisters destroying their skin with makeup that takes up their pores and blocks the air from coming in. And it's not a light amount, it's more and more that they blend. But he can't say nothing because they think he's trying to offend. Whereas the Black man is trying to get at you because we love that natural eyelids, eyebrows, nice smile that compliments your melanin. When the Black man cries, it might be because he's happy to hear his children call him daddy, poppy, or pappy. It's the greatest escape when the world is making them crappy. And it definitely stops him from responding all snappy or raising his voice until he's hoarse and raspy. So when the Black man cries, this is probably why exactly. So don't give me your crazed look and go to Facebook to bash me.
My man.
I love that.
Man.
Oh, that last,
I love
that last line was life right there.
Oh, my God.
That last line. Yes. That's what. That's
so dope.
Yes.
Well done.
Let's go.
Woo-hoo.
Let people know, I switched it up when we did it live. The live version ended off like
So when the black man cries, this is probably why exactly. Or you might end up like Chris Rock saying, damn, Will Smith just slapped me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Okay. Okay.
That's awesome.
Yes. Yes. I love it.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
That's deep.
All right. So we rocking. We rocking. Monster out this piece. So, Mkanto, are you ready?
Yes. Okay. today was my Nana's 88th birthday, so I still feel like this piece needs to be said. I've been performing the hell out of it, you know, just to keep her name up there, keep the universe, you know, happy and keep her longer, you know. So her name is Esther. Esther Makagula. If you wish to know about my grandmother, she is a grand piano whose keys accompany sopranos of angels. From the tips of their lips into the most secret chambers of heaven, the rhythm carried across the sky like a bridal train, whispering incantations of a tribal name. The one used by her ancestors before this world came to know her simply as Esther. I imagine her learning how to answer to it. Esther, a name she inhabits but cannot spell, and that somewhere out there her name is Hadassah, and that Esther is a queen. She cannot tell. I imagine every time she closed her eyes and rehearsed it, Esther, Esther, my name is Esther, Esther, my name is Esther. Because naming an African child is an initiation. It is a ritual that awakens the invisible cord that remains intact after the placenta is severed and neatly packed into a blanket and buried in the brown earth at the foot of a giant tree. That way the child's first cries are imprisoned by that tree's roots in case demons of the night steal it and make rainstorms out of its purity. I imagine that her birth was attended by midwives with gemstones for eyes, sapphire stones for nipples, and breasts that hang like the pendants of the mountain spirits. Those said to have portals that lead straight to the front steps of every planet known to the universe. She knows wisdom by the feel of its skin. She has run her fingers like a pianist along the spine of time. A spine vast like that of a matriarch elephant as she moves silently. Vast like piano keys made of ebony and ivory, composing the songs that pulse underneath three generations of black skin. The royal matriarch from the house of Swazi, Esther Makagula, Mswati, Mthombeni, Tshwala Minyela, Kujila, Vashalilinda, Mkonto, Tunjwane, Mzilanhliziyo, Msuthu, Kutshwa, Kutshwa Koduke Nemhlambi Wakhe, Sibumbu, Esikhulu Singabasincane Sifutha Khabonyoko, Mgongolothi Oluhlaza Njengecoshi, Necoshane Ongavuthwa Neziko, Waphekwa Nelitye Kwafuthwa Ilitye Kwasala Wena, Yakalala, Yakalala. Your praise names are the blood that courses in my veins, traveling pathways that raise the fires that bring warmth to my skin. I imagine your shadow follows you religiously and even vows to keep your secrets intimately, like why you wake up at 4 a.m. to pray for strangers in wars that you see on television, soldiers in coffins who died in missions, emaciated children who will never know the love of a grandmother. You are a whirlwind of possibility. Your smile is God's favorite memory, Esther. You are the music that you play. You are the conductor and the sound. You are the singer and the audience, an entire population in one human being. The melody to which each morning sings. The soundtrack to the rising sun. Itibayete Amanja. Now wait. Poem.
Beautiful. Oh, my gosh.
Absolutely
wow. Beautiful.
What language was that?
I love that. I love
oh
that.
Oh, my gosh.
You know what? Don't count, though. I know this is not even drip content. But take your ass to the corner.
Much respect and one love.
What language were you speaking?
Super beautiful.
Okay, so my grandmother is from what's now called Eswatini, but it was formerly called Swaziland. So she is from that area, and the history needs us to sit down. It's fascinating, and I think we should all start telling our stories so intentionally that it's easy for a child somewhere in Iowa to say, oh, you know what, I know something about Shaka Zulu. Oh, I know about the Monomotapa Kingdom from 1200 in Zimbabwe. Oh, that's actually amazing that they did that. And you know, and the kids back home also say, oh, man, Rosa Parks, I know about that. You don't have to tell me about that, you know. And it becomes like this very beautiful inter-exchange of, because she's originally from Eswatini, right? But she is like, she has started generations and generations, like her grace in all of it. She has lost kids and prevailed. She smiles. You know what she told me before I came to Canada? She said, you know what? If you smile from ear to ear and you genuinely mean it, you will invite the world towards you. I was like, whoa. You know, because then you don't have to fake who you are to gain favor, because you already have favor before you step out the gate. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's not something that you can go out there and manufacture. Your experience is not to be manufactured. The pain that comes from it is only because somebody is scared you're beautiful. You know what I mean? So and that's how we should view ourselves. Esther is everything.
Wait. Zocanto, pause. You said, wait a second. You said someone is afraid because your love is beautiful. What? Say that again?
No, because you are beautiful. Because you yourself are beautiful, you know? So it's because the world has told us so much that we are ugly, and we start to believe it. And so the rewiring is happening now, you know? But that rewiring is also a responsibility in itself. So that's why I'm saying it should be so easy for a child in Africa, for a child somewhere out there to know that they can relate, that the pain is a collective experience, because that's where the major issue is, because divide and rule was intentional, you know. So, and it's still intentional now. It's still the reason why there were redlining, and, you know, so all of those things are still intentional now. And so in viewing ourselves as we walk back to how beautiful we are, that we do it with such grace that we are able to see it in others as well.
Thank you for that. You are so right.
I definitely like that, because there's a lot of xenophobia going on with a lot of black people that I know that have issues with a lot of people from Africa. And then it seems like it's vice versa. It just seems like, you know, there's a lot of xenophobia within our people, and we all don't realize. I feel like we're all a part of that same type of struggle. Some people...
Yes, because we think it's from us, but it's also intentional. It's planned daily. It's made into a way of thinking. That's why stereotypes exist. But that way of thinking is faulty, because there's a reason why we end up in spaces like this and meeting each other. We've never seen each other, and we are feeling so powerful, throwing out poetry that comes out of generational, you know, existence.
you know. And if you had enough time to sit down and I had time to sit down and we listen to each other's stories, you'd be so amazed which ancestor we have in common. That's the thing about it. It should be so simple to think of it that way. And that way then we start unshackling ourselves in so many other ways. But because people, for instance, are running after, you know, the same kind of, whether it's called funding or the same kind of space, fighting to be in the very same spaces without a true reckoning of what we are as a united people and what we are as just love. You know, we just like, mm-hmm. everybody is just this floating ball of love that's waiting to be explored, right. You know. And if we explore it in each other, you'll be surprised exactly how much healing we can do, you know.
Absolutely.
All right. Wow. So that was like a whole, we just had a whole segment. Just right. On that. Yo, super incredibly dope. It's a must hit. Yeah, that's what
the feeling is. The feeling is mutual. The feeling is mutual.
I'm gonna call this Fly Speak 16 the Mosh Pit, because we moshed it up and it, you know, it's beyond. PPP, are you there?
Yes, sir.
You know what?
All right. So.
No, it's on you.
Okay. So yes, this next piece is called The Sacred Subject in Between. She be love apprehended, beauty cemented, strength reinvented, cocoa butter scented, godly perfected, uniquely designed to stand the test of time. Her black don't crack. She paints peace over her past, brush strokes excellence across the canvas of poetic stanzas. Man, she's like modeled strength in feminine flesh, the breath of God spoken to impress the world. She is queen, princess, gorgeous girl, wearing pearls of onyx wisdom around her neck, her intellect in depth enough to thrust NASA into the sky. My third eye sees how she formed 3D movies and rock and roll from caramel to her skin of gold. She be chocolate goddess, accomplished, black beauty full of knowledge, treasure to be treasured, her love boat designed to float with me wetter. She be memories and forever, combination of comforting consciousness, cool, control, clever. Even the weather is named Mother Nature. Probably for the main reason she be greater, daughter of the creator, ruling with crown and scepter, found in renowned studies and lectures, somehow working better under pressure, brown sugar gentle. Don't believe the lies the media has fed you. The only angry black women of this world are the ones you hurt detrimental. So uplift my black sisters. I'll kiss the very ground you walk on, because you are the foundation hard men like me are safe to become soft on. See, slavery couldn't hold her. Single motherhood couldn't fold her. From church to the boardroom universe, she's in sync hot, yet colder. Mess with her child, and beautiful butterfly smiles turn into cobra, wearing chokers to remind you that she could possibly choke you. Never a fool for jokers. Try bring your weed of lies and watch her eyes get high as she smokes you. I don't know the perfect words to describe my black queen, but if there's an alpha and omega, then they're everything that's in between.
Feeling loved on. That was dope.
Oh,
my gosh.
That one.
He just straightened out my whole crown. I'm trying to tell you.
Right?
Wow.
Listen. I see elbows being thrown. People drop kicking people doing the super fly snicker off the turnbuckle. It's a mosh pit in this piece. Listen, y'all gotta give it up for the features. Give it up for the features. Matter of fact, hold on, let's hit them with the applause.
Yes, definitely. Woo.
I like that. The delivery, like the delivery. and then like just the intensity and the alliteration. Ah, my, that was a strong piece.
Appreciate that, bro.
What I really love about Flash Speak, it really gives us a time and a space to really admire each other. And a thing where we're talking to each other, we get to really have conversations based off the poetry that we're spitting, but more importantly, to admire the styles of writing and the incredible pens of the people who come here or the features. It is super dope and super deep. You know, round of applause to the features for this evening. Thank you for coming through. I'm humbled. I'm so happy to have you here. Y'all have been stellar.
Thank you for feeding me. That was dope.
Avi, I gotta get up real early in the morning. I'm gonna have to cut loose.
All right. So you're gonna leave, or you want to do one more piece before you go?
No, I'm good on that. I'm definitely good. All right,
so you about to break out?
Yes, sir. And peace to Triple P. Peace to my what's the other brother name?
Zomkonto.
Zomkonto.
Zomkonto. Yeah, like I love both of them pieces, and I just wanted to say, like, when you flipped it into another language, man, I'm not gonna lie, I get so envious that I grew up, the only language I know is English or Ebonics, so to speak. You know what I mean? And I want to connect with so many other people, so many languages, to connect with our people, because that one, you know, if I spoke your language and they couldn't speak English, we would be able to interact and we would understand each other, like you said. You know what I mean? So when you broke out in that piece, that was like, man, it spoke to me. You know what I mean? And it was just like, it was just beautiful, man. Like, that was a real talk, bro. And I appreciate that. Although you ain't give me an African proverb, but I appreciate the Chinese proverb.
Oh, yeah. It's a beautiful one to think of, you know, in terms of, like, thinking that nothing is ever dead, you know, because, like you said, you're pointing to the words that I said, but the fact that we were talking in a space where you definitely know that the language was a language of love, you know that I wasn't saying anything, you know, sinister. So at the end of the day, the language, once we strip it of whether knowing how to speak or not speak a certain language, but you see the person for who they are and their intention, then you know that they could never say anything in any language that would be against you, because they've formed a bond with you, you know? So the language of love is more superior than that. And thank you for being in this space so that we can share it together. That's a beautiful thing. We don't give each other flowers enough, but your role as a poet, like a poet is like a spokesperson that sees with an extra eye but also feels with an extra heart, you know, and it's such a beautiful thing to be in the same space together. So I salute you and stay inspired always.
All right, have mercy.
To Edwina and to everybody, man.
Nice talking to you.
Hey. Most deaf.
Thank you. Peace.
Thank you, Black. All
right. We'll talk tomorrow.
All right. All right.
One love. Stay safe.
One love, one mic, bro.
One love, one mic. Ooh. Right,
so while we're here, let's get to this open mic, man, because it's a mosh pit, man. It's been awesome and incredible and just so soul-filled, spirit-filled, just beauty. And I just love it. I just absolutely love it. So, I know Van Metals is not reading this evening unless he got inspired.
I did get inspired. I did. So I am going to read.
Oh, that's right.
I'm calling poetic.
So we're gonna run it right back down, and then we'll come back to the top, and we'll get all the open micers and then for our features, and then we're gonna ask one more question, because you know it is 10:28 and the time be flying, and it is a school night. And shout out to Rare Epiphany for putting me up on probiotics, because my stomach has been chilling like Bob Dylan. And I had to go get another one, but it's the last one that they had. So I got to make it last. Anyway, literally. So let me cut this music. And we're going to go, we're going to start out with La Perla Negra.
How did I know? I'm out here, though. All right. This is called. Right. Ooh, I don't want to sit forever. All right. This is called Poetic Senses. He speaks and teases my poetic senses. That wordplay with syllables through similes, creating his offering of soliloquy, so stimulating. Striking each of my nerves as if he's running his fingers across a keyboard. It is precision by heart, a deliberate purpose. He has my attention because I swear I've known these words in another world. I wonder, does he know what it does? Delivery of enunciation so eloquently pushed. He speaks and teases my poetic senses. Activating the neurons of my nerves, it's deep. Giving me inspiration through a desire to define my understanding of his poetry. My amazement at him almost has me in disbelief of a feeling so good. But I feel what I believe in. I believe in him because he speaks and teases my poetic senses. I've never made love to a poet, but his words and metaphors give my vibrations visuals that I am. He touches me without touching me. I wonder what touches him. When he speaks and teases my poetic senses. I fell in love with poetry long before he stimulated me, but I can't deny what he's awakened by lifting my rapture with his intellectual arousal. Laving the filthiest corners of my mind with graceful wordplay and no damage done. Now I want to make love too. Because he's spoken and teased my poetic senses. And that's their piece.
You got it. Come on, Diva.
Oh. Oh.
Yes.
Beautiful.
That is deep. Got a nice little song for that one. Throw this little song on.
Juicy fruit, yeah.
I'll take that. Yeah.
All right.
Ooh-wee.
Let me shuffle around. Anyway, you're dirty. You're filthy. Okay.
Thank you.
Don't we like
that
it?
Was dope. All
right.
That was
so,
definitely dope.
So we're going to go from La Perla Negra. We're going to go to the poetic, a.k.a. our station manager, Mr. Van Meadows. Van Meadows, are you ready?
Yes, sir. I am ready.
Oh, the mic is yours.
Thank you. Woman of words, I see you as a lyrical warrior with unspoken power that makes you superior in more ways than one. You could never be outdone. When your lips formulate power affirmations unto the soul of my being, impregnating me with powerful creations, waiting to be birthed from your word manifestations. And here I am clinging on to your every syllable without hesitation of the fact that my newborn reality was given life, all because of the power in your verbs that doesn't promote strife. When in fact,
you are
the goddess
down there,
nurturing my very own dreams and willing me to success, not just your written word poetry, but the way you move and sashay through life, singing lyrics to flowetry. You know the ones. If I was a bird, I'd fly away. Spread my wings so I'd escape. If I was the sky, I'd let it rain to wash away the pain. Yes, those ones. Because even though you love actions more than words, you take on everyone else's pain, yet you manage to still soar with the birds. You are more than a life giver.
definitely a go-getter. Oppressed far too many times to count, and you still have a smile on your face with odds you definitely surmount. Your lyrics deserve to be heard. As you choose your word weapon wisely, some say it's absurd. Me, I listen to your tone. That exemplifies the strength of your zone. Your cadence that provides warmth and security within your realm. Then there's this enunciation that helps me remain calm. Holding in your breath to push out the right punctuation with the fluidity of nurturing clarification, so your shield of precision protects me when I'm wounded on the lyrical battlefield from a sharp incision. You are more than a leader of this world. Phenomenal woman of words. In peace.
Hey.
Wow.
Okay. Ooh, I'm glad I went first because
okay.
I couldn't
okay.
follow.
That's dope.
Okay.
Wow.
Thank you.
I see we're going in here and just getting at it, you know, and just doing what they're doing.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I had to play that for Van real quick.
Thank you, bro. Appreciate you, bro. Appreciate you, bro.
You don't have people joking about, but Van, you got your door open. You leaving your door open? See, that's a leave the door open poem. That's what happens, man. Your door open, you never know what happens, man. You're looking too good to be alone, man. Doing poetry like that, man. That's, I'm telling you. You know.
Appreciate
this,
you, bro.
This is just what's happening. I appreciate you too. All right, so we gonna go from you, yeah, you know, go from you. We're gonna go to Zelina. Zelina.
Hello. Okay.
Zelina.
All right, this piece is called Big Belly Jukebox. It's your music that moves me. It's the overture that plays and the curvature that is your Cupid's bow, and the symphony in every soliloquy you speak to me. You feed me. You charge me like an electric guitar. You spit bars that send me to the edge of the galaxy and gives me a courtside view of the stars. You touch the turntable softly, laying your stylus gently upon my record, a connection so staccato, electric and violent. Your treble is so perfect that I can hear your silence. Wow, look at you. You're amazing in your own perfect pitch, part imperfection, partly manly rapist wit. You got a way about you that feels like Art Dada, like Mingus in a pork pie hat. You're the swell in my aria. Damn, you entice me. I want you beside me. It's your music that moves me. Your tune sets my song free. I'll be the boom if you'll be the bip. I drink you in like lover spit. It covers me. I'm caught up in it. The ride of your rhythm is worth the admission to play in your whiskers like Santana tickles the Gibson. I'm going to straddle your Stradivarius. You be savant. Master the V in my virtuoso and the O in my overflow. Whatever you want. God body MC, color me lyrically Picasso. Then blow on that thing. Tickle my backbone like Coltrane on the saxophone. Use your fingers. Play what you want. It's whatever you like, Thelonious Monk. 24-karat cocoa body cut, a godly figure from the blueness of moonlight, the newness of new night, the moment that's just right, round my corners, round midnight, as the moon and your low tide tugs at my inside. You be Fela Kuti, blossom in the back of my throat like sweet cherry wine and good ganja smoke. It's worth the bruises, it's worth every cent to be in your concert, to learn from your hand, to heed in response to your every command. I'm your one-woman mosh pit, poised for your next hit. It's your music that I'm addicted to, and I can never get enough of it. And peace.
Wanna straddle your Stradivarius.
Nice, nice, nice.
Thank you.
Tell me what you see in me. Gotta be something different. You must be made for me. Patience is everything. In and out, in and out, in and out. Arguing, trifling.
All right, so I had to say that real quick. Yeah, Zawina, yeah, that's what you get. that's what you get. Yeah. Straddling Stradivarius and all kinds of stuff. What's going on? All right, yeah, this is yeah, if you're listening and you're streaming in, welcome to Fly Speak Open Mic, number 16, the 16, the Mosh Pit. I'm calling this one the Mosh Pit. Right, I'm gonna call this one the Mosh Pit. So this has been amazing. Everybody in here is showing out, you know, pulling down their pants, showing their ass cheeks. It's going down. it's been pretty out of control right now. And you know, as we were saying, Carlos, it ain't gonna get no better because coming up next to the microphone is Rare Epiphany, and then I'm gonna loop back around and get past the slinky. Rhea Cookie, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
And congratulations on being the newest, one of the newest honey drippers to come through.
Oh, yeah.
Class of
oh,
22.
Yeah. Congrats.
Win 22.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm happy. I'm happy.
That's what I'm saying. Good to have you. Good to have you in the crew. All right. So what you got for us? Wait, you got some.
So
I know you got.
So I just wanted to know what you wanted from me tonight.
Okay. Let's ask the features. I'm very specific. Let's ask the features. PPPs, I'm confident. What kind of poetry would you like to hear from Rare Epiphany?
You know what I'm saying, right? Just give me something that is an epiphany and rare.
That's everything.
Yeah.
I want something spicy.
How about you?
Oh. Ooh. We don't go with spicy.
Spicy.
All right, then. We're going to go with spice.
All right.
He asked me if I was a nasty girl, if I made toes curl and cheeks clench, if I was a bench rider or a ride or die, or did I come to play? Nigga, don't play with me. I am brilliantly filthy. I have the will, the capacity to drastically outmaneuver your labels for me. I am far more than nasty. My craftiness is born of curiosity and a desire, a drive to derive your deepest fantasies from the permission granted me into the kaleidoscopic, copulatory, scantily clad secrets you whisper in the night. The ones you write with your eyes that belie the calmness of your smile, I see the wild in you. It recognizes its reflection in me, too. I study you. Tap into the breadcrumbs in your conversation. Take notes and bookmark the important parts of the dissertation. Dripping from your lips, you wrote the script, outlining the path to your pleasures, and I take measured effort to learn all of the lines. Unwind the plot as it thickens. I have great expectations like Dickens when your dick ends up in my capable hands and mouth. And all regions down south, I will know exactly what you want and need. I read the lines of you like Braille. Let my fingers sail across the ocean of your melanated skin. Execute all of the actionable intelligence I've gathered in my mind. Fucking you physically won't be the first time you've been inside me. We've made love intellectually more times than I can count, B. Spiritually, We've known each other's wiles since the ether, and I lay beneath your willow tree wisdom in past lifetimes, spitting beautifully dope lines off the dome. My erotic nature is at home in the drip. Honey kisses my lips and declares me filthy, but brilliantly so. So to answer your question, no, I am not a nasty girl. I'm a grown-ass woman who will flip your world inside out if you don't watch your, scratch that, my mouth. It's about that life. It will give you life. It will crown me wife before it meets skin, before its suction has collected your seed and soul. From my mouth flows living water, and being daughter of the Nile makes it plenteous. My words are just as lethal as the soft plushness of my palate on phallus. The world is a callous and cruel place, but you'll find grace and peace in my words that I speak. Sensual satisfaction in the pleasures I convey and seek. Intellectually erotic, rare, and exotic with these epiphanies is what makes me, me. And that's brilliant.
Whoa.
Let's go. Oh, y'all asked for that.
Whoa.
Asked for that. See? See what you
did.
That
was an addition.
Watching that mouth. Ooh, we'll watch that mouth.
Yo, Scott, Crown Royal, Magic. Listen,
that was dope. That was
you
dope.
Understand. This is the fucking mosh pit. That's the fucking. Nobody. I feel like I got kicked in the nuts, but it felt good though. Anyway, don't pay attention to what I say. Anyway, that's what you get. You get this song. God damn, that's a song. y'all just in here not fucking around and shit. I'm righty. Wait, this is my favorite part. Ready? Alright, enough of that. We're not trying to make the floors get all slick and wet and mother get slips and fall, and then we get sued to litigation. We just, you know, the floors is already fucked up. We gonna mop them up. We gonna mop the floors so we can continue on. Alright, so let me go get past the slinking. We come in here. We got cleaned up before Pastor Slinky get in here, so we know he don't know what he's doing. Hey, Pastor Slinky, how are you? Divine is free.
Uh-huh.
What's going on?
I'm doing good. What's going on, folks? Oh, respect.
Yeah, how you doing?
You might want to
say what's good, my brother.
Hey,
what's going on, man? Hello, Queen. How's everybody?
We're good.
We just
need to clean up before you came in here, though. What?
I don't know why. I was listening. So it don't matter. But I know one thing for sure. I'm glad that microphone insurance kicked in when it did. Because, man, the bill for tonight would be outrageous. Y'all is cutting up in here. The scribes are coming through. Whoa. Phenomenal show.
Thank you, Pastor Slinky. But you know, the mic is open, and we have you on the mic. Are you ready? You have something to share, good sir.
Yes, sir. I have a little piece here called Dwindling Legacies.
All right. Well, come on through. The mic is yours.
Something just hit my mind, and it kind of scared me. And it reminded me that our strengths, our source of history and lore, our legacies, are rapidly dwindling. So many of our role models, our elderly, you know, those that held up and hold up our traditions, the source of guiding and molding our future leaders, the next generation of kings and queens, those who showed and still show us the right way,
those like the Edith Samptons, the Margaret Alexanders, the Betty Gilberts, the Maya Angelous, the Desmond Tutus, and countless more, like the Albert Welches and the Porkchops and the Odell Darlingtons and Charles Bennetts and Colin Powells of this world. All of those who have given us ties to our past, those who do and did their part to ensure we were never alone, source of pleasure, tears, sometimes pain, yet always there for you, unconditionally, over and over again, inspiring and elevating and subliminally empowering us, our grandparents, and the elderly women and men in our lives, those throughout the neighborhoods who showed us how to get beat down and still strive. Sadly, our legacies are dwindling and moving on to the next phase of their eternal lives, leaving a void that may not be able to be filled, leaving us depleted of our moral guidance, our examples of how to do it right, or leaving us to face our own individual nights, forcing us to face our own personal fights. And this, I fear for the future of our race as we destroy our very own might. What the heck am I talking about? Our legacies have given us all we need. All we need to pass on was what was given to us. The power to fail and get back up. The intelligence to know when to say no, the courage to step out in faith when all of our insides says it's time to give up and go. Yes, our legacies are dwindling. However, we have all we need to reverse what is. We have the option to emulate those virtues of old, the choice of whether our legacy will be of integrity and is a positive part of our season or no. The choice to live and leave positive memories and inspirations for those who are yet to come. We, who have led a blessed life, are responsible for doing our part to see others saved. For all others, we must live the example of how to behave. One that despite our fears, we appear to be brave. Despite fear, we refuse to be spiritually enslaved. We need to look no further to the next wave of legacies. They walk within and around and every day. Those dwindling legacies through each of us are here to stay. They gave us all we need to forge our way. Praise God for those legacies. And with that, I have nothing more to say except be of good courage. A legacy was born on your birthday. Home.
Hey.
Yeah, that was not even a poem. That was education.
Come on, hey, Pastor Slinky.
Thank you very much. You know, things might
look as education.
Grim and dim, but have faith. We got what it takes.
Yes. Thank you for the inspiration.
Grandpa, granddad, the lady down the street that would whoop you behind if you was cutting up and you thought she was around the corner where they couldn't be seen. All of that.
Mm-hmm.
They put in us what we need.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be all right.
Yes.
We're going to be all right.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's what's up. All right.
Thank
Before we move on. I forgot to do roll call. Van Meadows, can you tell me what's happening in Pippi Radio Universe for the rest of the week?
Absolutely. It'd be my pleasure. Ladies and gentlemen, join Pippi Radio tomorrow night for the Love Zone with VIP and La Perla La Negra. There is a night show. Oh, man, the Get Down is kicking off with the winner of the Get Down Poetry Idol as a host, Anonymity. Make sure y'all tune in. And me and J-Rap get to be co-hosts, y'all. His brother that came up with his own topic. Make sure y'all come through. Friday night is open, but Saturday night, y'all, Saturday night with yours truly, Poetic, we're going to do Let's Talk About It, where we do date night differently, poetry and relationship questions. Sunday night with Divine Inspiration and yours truly, Poetic, we have the Inspiration Factory, 9 p.m. And then Monday night, oh, man, we got King and Queen's Quarters with Queen Simmons and King Atterbury. And then we'll be right back here next Tuesday with one of Mojave's fantastic shows, War Council, Honey Dripper.
War Council.
He beat me before I can get to Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, and all that good stuff. But Mojave, back to you.
We're not getting to that show. You know, that's a special show we do for the holidays. We play all the Black Christmas songs in the entire world. We do not care. We are going to play them. We don't care if you're not in the Christmas spirit. We don't care if you're Muslim. We're playing songs. Anyway, playing all the Black Christmas. All the Black Christmas. Okay. We play. We talk about all the stuff, Christmas and all that good stuff. Anyway, that's besides the point. Well, first of all, because it's getting close to the thing, and I want to thank everyone who came out, but I want to thank our features in particular. I want to thank the pretty provocative poet. Brother, you were stellar. You were super stellar and amazing. Your pen is just off the damn chain. It's ridiculous. I want to thank some consoles for like, you know, y'all just came in here like I'm calling this the mosh pit, man. We got mosh. It was the monster mash, man. It just went down. There was just so much strength, power, soul, beauty. So Kanto, I'm not even going to front, you know, because I have people, Nigerians in my family. And, you know, so when you dropped into the language, like the duality of being able to do that, to speak of something so beautiful that you have to say it in the native language from which it comes, is beyond. It just really is. Like it, and it all connected us all at once. And PPP is like, brother, like, I know you're in Toronto, but your pen, can I say that?
Oh, wow. Thanks, bro.
You know? And you know, and I'm humbled to have the both of you on my show. And for Black, I know for Black it was an amazing thing for him because, you know, like for him to extend and to begin to interact with people that he, you know, it's only imagination to see, you know, how things are, like, you know, which is great, you know, because we did a pop-up poetry thing, and to him it was like everything, you know. And for me, like, it taught me a lot of stuff because I literally was like I had a moment, like, you know, like I really do suffer from anxiety. I don't, you know, talk about it too much, but like I have my moments and I was having a moment. Right. And so Danielle can tell you, like I had my moment and I said, and then I had to work my way out of it. And then once I got there, like everything was good. The energy was just beyond. It was good and everything else. And so, you know, I look forward to doing more of it. And especially if I can get you brothers to come to New York, it's going to be ugly. It's going to be some serious, serious, serious business. But I want to thank everybody who participated in the open mic. Thank you, my Epiphany Radio family. Thank you, Rare Epiphany, for coming through and rocking out. I saw somebody else joined in, but they didn't put your hand up. That's area code 979. If you want to spit a poem, I'll stay open for as long as you're doing that. But I'm going to do something. I wrote this today. It's not really done, but I'm going to do it anyway because I'm foolish like that. And I'm not going to do it in the way that I wrote it. I'm going to do it in a completely different fashion from which I wrote. So I'm just going to see if this sound can come through because I don't know if it will, but I'm going to try. All right, so let's test this out. Tell me if you can hear it. Hold on. A second. Oh. I don't know. Is it coming through? Can y'all hear it?
Yes.
What?
So y'all can
hear everything? I'm hearing anything.
Yeah.
I'm hearing anything.
Yeah.
All right, hold on. Let me try it a different way.
Oh, okay.
Try this one. Can you hear it?
I don't hear nothing.
Oh, you meant music. I don't hear music, no. I thought you meant, like, the feet from the voice.
No.
I know you can hear my voice.
I don't hear no music, huh?
No, it's not, right. It's not coming out yet.
All right, so I'm gonna just read this. All right.
Mm-hmm. Mic is yours. All
right. How real you are. I do not have to imagine of your everyday the pulchritude to describe everything. Does not begin the goodness, the gratitude, the sweetness that is you, that covers with desire. Pure momentum gathers my heart to speak, and thoughts that shape my actions. The love. I know that my mind speaks to a divine ecstasy that pales beyond reason. Allow me to mold you sensually to your soul. Grant me access to the sexy you, the inner you. You keep showing me the authentic you so that you slake my thirst and I place my hands to cuff you so I can drink, tantalize you, torrently taste and take, to give you me, to love you back into balance, to cuddle you with ultra comfort, abundance, how much love and energy I'm going to spend upon you. You are on my mind. You make my mornings good. That's the beast.
I have a huge respect for people who write and do that, you know, like I love that. It's your mind is working with your heart all the time, you know, it's a beautiful thing. And
because
do you know how beautiful it is that you wrote that? And it's almost like your that feeling arriving and you write it in real time. It's just that usually we're afraid. You know, there's that stigma of if you enter those certain levels, you might stretch your sensitivity way too much for comfort, you know. But people walk every day. People are making poetry as they are walking. You just watch a grandma with like a yellow hat and, you know, they're like, today this is my church outfit, and you know they're killing it. And you know, and they're in their world. They got their napkins in the bag. You know, the little things. They're creating poetry there because they have histories upon histories. Maybe that church was built by, like I visited and found churches built by former slaves when they came from the U.S. to here, you know. And so all of that surrounding me, and from knowing to be able to just write it, you know, and like to actively catch yourself having a notepad and saying, okay, I'll write two lines. It's just an amazing thing because we are storytellers, and not so much of our own history is written out there. But you know that Aunt Mary does something just so brilliant every other time. Write it for your own kids. Write it. She did this on May 25th. You know, it was the funniest thing at the reunion, you know. Write it for your kids. Mm-hmm. And give it to them to give it to the next person so that three generations down, they know that Aunt Mary did this on such and such a day, you know. We can do that. And poetry is one of the best things. So thank you for sharing something that you wrote like that. That's a beautiful superpower, man. Thank you. Stay inspired.
Javi always writes like that. His poetry is spoon worthy all the time.
Mm.
All the time.
He made me want to be a cup of coffee. Just the best part of what we're doing. That's it. Let me go on back over here to the content. I can't with you.
Yes. So now, I wish I would have got the soundscape off because the soundscape was lush because I have that thing to match music poetry. That's just like my thing, like, and so the soundtrack I'll do. I you know, the funny thing is I gotta get this mixtape done before my birthday. That's my goal. My goal, get the mixtape done before the birthday. So you'd be like, oh, my birthday, hey, mixtape, here you go. More importantly, I enjoy the play of music with my poetry and doing everything else. And thank you, Zomkanto, for that very high compliment. I write as I'm inspired. My heart and my mind and my soul have a lot to do with it. And when I really write and it has the feel, it's because all of those things are connected in the words. It is a history of how I, of my emotions and my spirit and my soul in that moment when I write like that. So thank you. I'm glad you did that. That's good. Anyway, listen,
awesome.
Party people.
Much respect.
It is 11 o'clock. Real quick, let's find out, Zomkanto, how can people find you?
I'm on Instagram. I'm Bonisi Zikali. On Instagram, it's my first and second name. So Zomkanto is like my totem. So it's I think you can. I've got Honey Dripper Erotic is one of my Instagram peeps.
That's me.
Yes. So you can share it then, you know, because I don't know how to do it like over the phone. My name is kind of, it trips up people sometimes.
All right, so listen, for anybody else who's listening, you can go to the event page. Everything will be posted there for Zomkanto. And I'll post everything there for Pretty Provocative Poet. Pretty Provocative Poet.
Thanks. We're talking. You know, finding each other is big, man. Thank you so much, all of you, for sharing so much of yourselves. It means a lot.
No, thank you for sharing.
Thank you. Yes, thank you.
So PPP.
You knew.
How can people find you?
Yeah, so I am the Pretty Provocative Poet on Instagram. I do have some books on Amazon, so you could check those out, too, if you rock with my type of poetry. And yeah, that's the only place I am right now. Well, I am on
he also hosts dope open mics on IG. Don't forget, through Grapevine Sway, he hosts dope open mics. He's that guy.
And
dope.
Also
Fireflies
and Dark Minds as well.
Yeah, see, he's the guy. He's the guy. Listen.
Yeah,
let's
link up, everybody. Let's link up. You know, let's make it this whole beautiful, joyful bubble of love, man. You know, why not? You know.
All right. So as long as we love bubbling and we love bombing, we good. so we're rocking. Shout out to Lady Zaki. I see you. And we rocking. This is what we do. We want to thank you for coming out to Epiphany Radio Universe, another installment of the very dope Fly Speak Open Mic number 16, the Mosh Pit. That's what I'm calling it. And I want to thank our special guest, the Pretty Provocative Poet. Make sure that you check him out on Instagram and his books on Amazon. And he hosts dope open mics, and he's a hellified poet. And I'm so happy that I got him here because I really wanted him to come. And I was just like, yo, I'm really humbled that he came out because I really respect his pen. His pen is like lethal, and he, you know. He don't mess around, you know. I'm gonna get him on the Honey Dripper podcast too, so we can see him cut loose. Cause he do the erotic thing. He do the erotic thing. Real good life. All right, real good life. You know, he drippy. He real drippy.
I gotta put that on his shirt. He's drippy.
Listen, you. You on kind of slow. We got the shirts coming out, so you know. But we'll put one on your shirt and say he real drippy on the back. All right, so you can get that on the sleeve. However you want to do it like that. Like he real drippy. He real drippy. You know. And I want to thank Zomkanto for coming through. For the first time, he came. One of the first times besides being in Arbor. He came on to one of the podcasts here. He came on the podcast and he really rocked it. And his energy is just so good. Like he's just a beautiful, beautiful soul. And you know, I love people who speak from their heart. And so that's one of the things I'm also humbled to have you on here. Thank you so very much, Mfanto. I appreciate
you. Thank you, man. The feeling is mutual. What we share is, you know, because there's so much of you that moments like these reveal. You know, I mean, just look at it, how many. We just had 2 hours. In 2 hours, you've known so much of the good in somebody through their poetry. You know, you've known so much of their energy. You've known so much of whatever they decided to share at that time. All of the other things then become easier pieces to deal with when you already know that you've seen this person be this radiant in the 2 hours. You know, imagine that. If you can make so much impact in the 2 hours, that's the whole strength of bringing people together. If you can bring so much energy into 2 hours, imagine what people could do in a lifetime if we were friends rather than seeing the other person as, you know, as less of an equal. So it's a beautiful thing to do, and let these 2 hours turn into something bigger, because all kinds of healing need a kind of other person to do it. Maybe you've been searching for healing all of these places, and you needed that one person to say something and say, oh, they put it into perspective. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I remember when you did that piece. You remember you say this one line, it corresponded with how I needed to shake up this, or how I needed to view things a certain way, or just to hit each other's you know, socials and get crazy excited with it, you know, and get crazy excited about each other, because this excitement can only last so long. Life is so short. So I thank you for creating this space. Thank you so much.
Well, I want to thank not just me. I want to thank 50 Radio Universe. I want to thank Vance for working on me and duping me into the job that I came to love and ended up becoming Iron Man.
You already know, my brother. You already know.
He was like, we don't get him going. He loved us so much. He's only missed 3 shows in 2 whole years, almost 3 years. Like, that's ridiculous. I love him so. I don't even care. That's because this is the fam. This is what it is. I want to thank everybody for coming out. You know, God bless y'all. Good night. Thank you for coming. Thank you for your amazing poetry. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for coming with us. Thank you for taking this journey with us. We now conclude the end of the show. Fly Speak, open mic number 16, The Mosh Pit, featuring the pretty provocative poet from Compton and Nikki Black. And, of course, the Epiphany family and all the open micers, we appreciate you. We love you. God bless you. Good night. This will self-destruct in 10, 9, 8, 7,
6, everybody stay inspired.
5,
an honor.
4,
much respect.
3, 2,